all about grace. The Voice of St. Paul, this podcast, is about grace. That's what you will hear here. Grace, mercy, God's love in Christ. St. Paul Lutheran Church in Catonsville, Maryland, offers sermons, occasional devotions, and thoughts from Pastor Greg Alms and others. On this podcast, you'll hear about the love of Christ for you and in your life. We invite you to listen, to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. So it's getting closer, isn't it? Christmas. It's December 13th. Only 12 days left. You still have time to get on Amazon.com and click all your favorite things for all your favorite people, and it'll be delivered. Time for the big day. Christmas is for those with Amazon Prime. 2-day free shipping. I was browsing around on the old internet the other day and ran across a list of the best Christmas presents for 2020. And it was much like gifts from other years, you know. Diamond rings that were way expensive. Huge flat screen TVs. Video game systems, which I never knew were as expensive as they are. Beautiful dresses and clothes. Even brand new cars, you know, with big red bows on them, a Christmas present. The message seemed to be that Christmas is for those who can afford it. Christmas is for those indeed who have Amazon Prime. And if you want a good Christmas, you know, if you want your kids to be happy, your husband or wife, your family, your friends, well, you're going to need to spend a lot of money. Christmas is for those who can afford it. Isaiah, though, our first lesson this morning from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, has a different message. He's speaking in the voice of the Messiah. He's speaking prophetically in the voice of Jesus, the voice of the one who comes. The voice of the one that John the Baptist says he's not worthy to untie his shoes. The baby in Bethlehem. The one who's to come into the world. Isaiah says that the Messiah is anointed and chosen just for this. To be the Savior at Christmas. The Son of God, the Savior. He is the one born. And that Savior has a different list of gifts than the one I saw on the internet. This Savior who's coming at Christmas brings things like the good news, the gospel. This Savior who comes has come to bind up the wounds of those who have been wounded. He comes to proclaim liberty, to open up the prisons, comes to announce the year of the Lord's favor. He comes to bring comfort, a beautiful headdress, the oil of gladness, the garment of praise, all of these things. What a list of gifts, an outpouring of giving. The baby in Bethlehem brings these gifts to us, gifts that you can't find by clicking on the internet, gifts that only come from a divine Savior. These gifts that the Messiah brings are all given in images of earthly things. A bride with a beautiful headdress, the oil of gladness that one might put on one's face, prisoners being released from jail, liberty being proclaimed. All of these gifts point to the same gift, to the one gift that Jesus brings. Release from sin. Release from death. Release from the darkness of this world. 2020 has had plenty of darkness. COVID stalking us day after day, circling above us, and we wonder who's going to be next. It's in a habit. We've had riots in the streets. We've had injustice. We've had people crying out. And Isaiah says that that baby, the one who comes, has been anointed to proclaim release from all of these things, to give us freedom. The most amazing thing about how Isaiah speaks, how the Messiah speaks through Isaiah, is who are all of these gifts for? For whom are they intended? Who receives these gifts that the Messiah brings? Amazon says Christmas is for those who can afford it. But not so with the Lord's anointed. He says he has come to bring these gifts for the poor, for the brokenhearted, for those who are captive, those who are bound, those who mourn, those with a faint spirit. That's a very interesting list. And if we were to evaluate that list, we would say it's a list that most of us spend most of our time trying not to be on. Nobody wants to be brokenhearted or bound up or a life filled with mourning or to have a faint spirit. We don't want such things. We don't want to be on such a list. I want to be on the Amazon list. I'd like a flat screen TV, right? I want to be on the good list, not the naughty list, Santa's list. We want to be successful and popular. We spend a lot of our time trying to convince ourselves, trying to convince others, and really trying to convince God that we have it all together, that we're good people, that we're doing pretty well. And we want to be in that spot where good things happen to good people, where we look nice and people like us and God congratulates us on the kind of life we're leading. But all of that is imaginary. Isaiah tells us, Jesus says, he did not come, born in Bethlehem, to bring good news and mercy to people who all have it together. Jesus didn't come for the shiny, happy people. He didn't come for the good people. He came for those who are brokenhearted, those who are lonely, those who are captive, those whom this world has been hard on, the ones who have messed up and stumbled and hurt other people, the ones who have been hurt, stumbling along. Who is Christmas for? For whom does the Messiah come? That's the task we have in Advent. It's not Christmas yet. It's still Advent. And during Advent is the time to put away our pride, put away our pretending, put away our exalted, our pretend view of ourselves, and to be on that list, to admit that that list is us, the brokenhearted, the lonely, the sinners, those who don't have it all together, those who are captive to sin, those who need good news, those whose hearts are broken by this world time and again, those who know their need, their emptiness, and want to be filled. That's what Advent is for. That's its purpose. Knowing who Christmas is for. That the grace and the liberty and the good news is all wrapped up in that baby. Such gifts you can't click on Amazon. You can't buy them. There's no credit check for them. That baby and his gifts come only to sinners. Only for those who are unworthy and who thirst and hunger for righteousness. If you find yourself on that list, you will find Christmas. It's Advent every Sunday when we come together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we put ourselves on the wrong list. Jesus comes for shepherds out in the fields, for people who say, I am the poor, I am brokenhearted, I am captive. That's my list, that's me. Christ is born for such people, and for them he brings hope. My Advent prayer, our Advent prayer, is that you find yourself on that list, the list of the brokenhearted, the sinners, and that finding yourself on that list, you may also find Christmas, when the Anointed One, the Messiah, is born in Bethlehem for you, a Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's it for today's podcast. Thanks for listening to the voice of St. Paul. God be with you. We're in the season of Epiphany, second Sunday after Epiphany. The season of Epiphany starts out with a big, unusual, strange events. The star of Bethlehem rises in the east, a star unknown. And the Magi follow it, and it reappears, and in a miraculous way leads the Magi from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, to the very house where Jesus and Mary are staying. That's a big deal, a miracle. The baptism of Jesus last week, also a strange and unusual events. Heaven torn open, and the voice of God booming down from heaven, and the Spirit descending visibly, bodily, in the form of a dove. Strange things, unique things, Epiphany, all of these things shining, pointing, showing Jesus. That's the meaning of Epiphany, to show forth who Jesus is. And you know, I think we like that. We like the big and the bright and the unusual, even in our own life. How do I know that God is with me? Where do I turn for assurance that I'm a Christian? Well, sometimes, you know, well, I had this strange dream, right? Or I had a sickness and God miraculously healed me, which is all good and fine. Or I might have had an emotional experience at some point, and I remember that experience. And of course, God can do all of those things. He certainly can heal us. He can grant us emotional experiences. And so we can look for God in the unusual things that happen, in the strange, in the abnormal. But today, Epiphany season moves on, and we go from the big and the strange and the weird to the small and the normal and the everyday. Jesus goes to Galilee. He walks there, and along the way has a conversation with Philip. Just a couple of words. Follow me. Philip, in turn, goes and talks to his friend Nathanael. And they talk about Jesus. Probably they talked about other things too. And Philip says, you know, he's the one. He's the one that's been promised from the Old Testament, the Messiah. Nathanael, being a skeptic perhaps, he's not impressed. He's not a fan of Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip simply says, come and see. There are no fireworks here. There are no big, giant things. This is just normal, everyday stuff. Conversations. A trip to Galilee. Talking to somebody on the side of the road. These are small-sized, normal-sized epiphany moments. They are things that we do and know and experience every day. This is not the giant Bethlehem star blazing in the sky. This is not a voice that speaks to us out of heaven. This is more like Bob, your next door neighbor, wants to borrow some tools, right? This is, oh, I have to go to the CVS. This is talking to your sister-in-law on the phone. It's normal. It's everyday. It's what we are used to. But God is at work. Because as the story goes on, suddenly Epiphany happens. Epiphany happens. Nathanael has a literal epiphany. Jesus comes to him. He says, I saw you under the tree. And then all of a sudden, Nathanael, the skeptic, the one who wasn't impressed with Jesus, all of the little stuff, the words, follow me, come and see, it's Jesus. All of a sudden, Nathanael has an epiphany. And he says out loud, you are the Son of God, Rabbi. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael, who didn't want anything to do with it, suddenly sees that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. God and man in one person, the Messiah, Savior, King. He believes. All of these things that have been happening lead him not only to believe in his heart, but to confess with his mouth, out loud, his faith. God did not intervene in his life in a dramatic way. No miracles, no voice from heaven. But Nathanael comes to faith. He sees Christ, and he speaks. Here is a lesson for us. God uses our little words. He puts his word in our mouth, and he uses us, our small actions, our normal everyday things, for his purpose, big epiphanies. We often think about missions and evangelism, and it seems so that's like such big topics. The world has gone so seriously off the rails, even our communities and our culture, and we get paralyzed. Well, what can I do? I can't save the world. I can't save America. I can't bring people back. And so we tend to do nothing. But we're not supposed to just sit around and wait for God to make something weird and strange happen. But our little words, our come and see, our conversations, our acts of love, our relationships, our being a friend, our inviting someone to supper, our saying, we have found Jesus, our talking about our church. These things God the Holy Spirit uses for big epiphanies. The normal. The little, what we think is insignificant, God uses to open eyes and to bring people to his Son. This morning, we have before us three Nathanaels, confirmation, whom God has called. And they will, as Nathanael did, speak out loud. And with all of us together, they will confess their faith. They will say, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And I think I can say for all of them that there was no giant epiphany moment, no star in the sky, no voice from heaven. But for them and for most of us, I think it was small things that bring us to Christ. We can look back at our own lives and see conversations, Bible study, God's Word, worship, catechism, scripture, friendships, people that have influenced us, our families, our parents, our pastors, our teachers. Not huge moments, but God at work through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through his people, little things, bringing faith in Christ through his power and his work to happen in our hearts. God is a God who does big things, but he uses little things. It has always been so. People looked at Jesus of Nazareth, son of Mary, supposedly son of Joseph, and they scoffed. If God was at work in the world, would he use just this guy, Jesus, son of a carpenter? We've known him since he grew up. But Jesus, just a normal guy, just a human being, this little human being, God brought salvation, the Messiah, Savior of the world. God does big things, but he uses little things. People, his word, the sacraments, a little bit of water, a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine, and yet giant gifts, epiphany moments. We are all like Nathanael. We confess our faith in Jesus Christ. And bringing through the Holy Spirit, we do it. Nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That faith that we have in our heart is divinely given. But somebody had to bring us to church. Somebody had to read the Bible story to us. Somebody had to invite us. Somebody spoke. Somebody cared. In the normal paths of everyday life, God was at work. God was at work planting his word in our hearts, creating faith. We don't have to look or to expect the weird and the strange. God can do what he wants. He may send a Bethlehem star. He may work some big miracle in your life. And if he does, God be praised. But most often, he uses others, people you might overlook, to bring us to him. And in turn, he uses us, his word, his Holy Spirit. We are nothing but instruments, but our words and actions, our sharing of his word, to bring others to him. God uses us. It is a grace and a mercy and a blessing that he does so. Us, imperfect sinners, failures, and yet God uses us to supply his church, to create faith, to bring people into heaven, to bring epiphany. And so, yes, we celebrate the big epiphanies, the Magi, the star, the baptism of Jesus, but also the little ones, the Philips and the Nathaniels, you and me. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. That's it for today's podcast. Thanks for listening to the voice of St. Paul. God be with you.